What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series. Hi, I'm JR.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, and we've got a returning hero this week.
We certainly do.
Stephen Hatcher, he recorded and sent in all of his essays that he'd written, including for books that haven't actually appeared yet. And this is the last but one of those, and this one, to me, is a particularly fun one, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is about, well, this is for the Target books, the You on Target volume that Chris Bryant's doing. And this is about the Crusaders, which, of course, was one of the pre-Target books from the 1960s.
It was. And, you know, I'm going to jump in here and say, do you know these older Target non-Targets, as I'll try and call them? I had a real mental block with them when I was a kid because they seemed older and maybe written in an older way, and they weren't like the more simple Uncle Terence style of all the Targets I'd read. And for that reason, I never fully got into the original three. It's three, isn't it? The Daleks and Crusaders.
Yeah. And the Zabi, yeah.
That's right.
I had sort of, I know what you mean, and I kind of had the similar sort of feeling about them myself, that they seem to be written in a different style. But oddly, the two David Whittaker ones particularly, but all three, I sort of really got into them. And this one, I think the two David Whittaker ones are probably my two favourite Target books, if I'm going to be completely honest. This one I just absolutely adored. Because the Crusaders tells such a sort of rollicking story, especially in prose, where you don't get the sort of longeurs of the sort of 1960s TV production. I thought this was fantastic.
Yeah, indeed. As I listened to it, as we prepared for this episode, I thought, you know what? I should take that down from the shelf and read it as an adult, because I'll probably bloody love the thing to death, you know?
Well, I think I've got nearly as many copies of it as Stephen does. In fact, I had an interesting experience similar to one that he'll outline in his essay, where I went on eBay hoping to pick up a copy of the old 1960s paperback, and somebody had listed it as a Target book, but with the picture of a 60s paperback that was obviously their own picture rather than one they just fished off the internet. So I managed to pick it up for a quid.
Wow.
That doesn't happen very often. I ought to. In fact, I'm going to get it down off the shelf because I believe... Oh, no, I'm wrong. I thought there was a name inside and I was going to say whose copy I'd got. But actually, no, it turns out there isn't. Oh, never mind.
I like names in books. I recently pulled out my second Hartnell annual and it says inside, I can remember this, Raymond Story, Christmas 1966. And I wonder, is Raymond Story out there? You know, Raymond might only be, what, you know, in his mid-50s maybe, perhaps? 60, perhaps? You know, still could be out there. Is he a listener?
Oh, probably is. Yeah. Who knows?
Raymond, I have your annual.
If he was into Doctor Who then, he might still be into Doctor Who now. So who knows?
Isn't that weird?
I know, it's kind of like You and Who Talking itself. Picking up a book that's got somebody else's name in because you picked it up secondhand somewhere, it's one of those sort of Doctor Who linking things that sort of ties us all together. Even people who no longer watch and don't have any interest in the programme anymore, they were still together with us, sitting down in front of that television, watching that TV programme when they were kids, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Anyway, we ought to let Stephen get on with his essay, because this is quite fun. He talks about a couple of things and takes a couple of tangents that, if you're sort of expecting an essay about the Target books or whatever, might sort of catch you slightly unawares. I think this is fun.
Yeah, and if this is your first Hatcher, do go back through the back catalogue, because he has appeared a few times already.
And yeah, and he's a funny chap, but he also talks with a lot of pathos as well. He's always worth a listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, here he is.
The Magic Dragon, Doctor Who and the Crusaders by Stephen Hatcher. I'm going to start with something of a heretical admission. The Target novelisations have never really meant that much to me. I suppose by the time the Target range started in 1973, I was approaching 15 and had moved on to more adult books. It was around then that I read all of the Ian Fleming James Bond books and the entire Sherlock Holmes canon. I remember one summer reading lots of the Edgar Rice Burroughs Mars books. 1973 was also the year that I discovered Asimov via the BBC radio adaptation of the Foundation trilogy. Arthur C. Clarke, A. Van Vogt, Robert Heinlein and the Golden Age SF writers, and began scouring charity shops for second-hand SF short story anthologies. Although I had finally become a regular viewer of Doctor Who, there really wasn't room in my life for it to invade my reading time, the exception being the wonderful Hawke and Dick's The Making of Doctor Who, with Pertwee and a Sea Devil on the cover, which was a major part of turning me into a fan. The only two Doctor Who novels that I ever owned during my childhood were those two paperbacks that came out when I was younger, back in the 60s. Doctor Who in an Exciting Adventure with the Daleks and Doctor Who and the Crusaders. For some reason, the third 60s book, Doctor Who and the Zabi, never made it into paperback stage, and it never crossed my path. As a child, I was an avid reader from an early age, oddly enough, becoming a fan as much of particular publishers as of the work of individual writers. The first book I ever read on my own was, in common with so many British children, an Enid Blyton, Mr. Galliano Circus, published by Armada Paperbacks, who quickly became my favourite publishers, before being supplanted later on by the wonderful Puffin books, the children's imprint of Penguin. Armada, with their fabulous bright covers, introduced me to the Anthony Brookridge Jennings stories, Biggles by Captain W.E. Johns, the famous Armada ghost books, and a number of wonderful Thunderbirds and Stingray novels by John Thaden. I still remember the lurid pink cover of the second Thunderbirds book, Calling Thunderbirds. I have a clear memory also of two Armada Batman books, one a straight novel with a green cover, the other with a red cover that we would call today a graphic novel. Then, of course, there was David Whittaker's novelisation of the first Doctor Who Dalek story, with its striking cover devoid of Daleks but with Hartnell's Doctor complete with flowing white locks and the immense swirl of a red-lined purple cloak. These books were amongst the most treasured possessions of my reading-obsessed childhood, which is why I still cannot understand to this day how I came to allow myself to be persuaded, in the interest of creating storage space in my admittedly tiny bedroom, to donate a large box containing so many of them to the children's ward of Warwick Hospital. How I regret even now that minor act of philanthropy, as much as I also regret my later decision to donate my entire collection of Gerry Anderson's Century 21 mini-LPs to a jumble sale in aid of the Labour Party. Mind you, at that same jumble sale, I bought my first Wisden Cricketer's Almanac, thus beginning another lifelong obsession. Doctor Who and the Crusaders, also by David Whittaker, was not, however, one of those lovely Armada paperbacks. A little research reveals that Dragon books, Green Dragon for readers aged 12 to 15, Red Dragon for those little younger, and Blue Dragon for the youngest, was in fact founded by one Gordon Lansborough in 1966, after he had sold Armada Publishing, which he'd also founded a few years earlier. Given this fact, it becomes less surprising that the Crusaders novelisation was one of the company's earliest releases, along with lots of Enid Blyton, horsey books aimed at a young female readership by authors such as Mary O'Hara and Christine Pullen Thompson, classic authors such as P.C. Wren, G.A. Henty and Alexandre Dumas, Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan novels, and Anthony Brookridge's less successful Rex Milligan books. That's quite a roster. But although I certainly spent a fair bit of pocket money on Green Dragons, I never found these books as appealing as Armada's. A lot of this must be put down to the covers. In place of the sumptuous full-colour illustrations of the Armada books, Dragon books were predominantly white, with a colour illustration that took up just over half of the front cover. Following the impressive illustration of Doctor Who and the Daleks cover, Crusaders sports a bizarre depiction of a long-legged, rather athletic-looking Hartnell sprinting away from a group of Crusader knights across a field of oddly blue grass. It just isn't impressive. In fact, the whole range looks cheap and shoddy in comparison. These books were never going to challenge to be among my favourite editions, but nonetheless, that fact alone wasn't going to stop me from buying those that interested me. And so, Doctor Who and the Crusaders took its place alongside Whittaker's earlier Who novelisation on my heaving bookshelf, only to be lost in due course to the young patients of Warwick Hospital. It wasn't until many years later that this book was to enter my life again. The 1993 30th anniversary of Doctor Who, together with the release of old stories on VHS having rekindled my love for the show, I came to the realisation that there were an awful lot of books out there that I would quite like to own. Initially I settled for factual books, House Stammers and Walkers, Peter Haining, et al. Then I dipped my toes into the Virgin New and Missing Adventures, the collecting bug bit. The annuals? No, I wasn't really interested in buying them. Yet within a couple of years I'd a full set, even the rare ones. Now, how about those Target books? In those days, it wasn't uncommon to find them cheaply in charity shops and second-hand bookshops. But even so, there were just too many for me to contemplate acquiring the lot. It didn't take me long to do just that. Even all the alternative editions and covers, and among them somewhere at some time, an original Armada edition of Doctor Who in an exciting adventure with the Daleks, rather tatty, and the Green Dragon edition of Doctor Who and the Crusaders, in nice condition. Childhood memories were unearthed just in time for the relevant chapters to fill in more than adequately for the missing TV episodes as part of a marathon Doctor Who watch, which in the event only reached the end of the 60s before petering out. I eventually achieved the feat in time for the 2013 50th anniversary. And there it sits to this day, on my still heaving bookshelf, together with the 1973 and 1982 Target Books editions, the latter signed by Gene Marsh, and the 2011 BBC Books reprint, not to mention the BBC Talking Book read by William Russell. In preparation for this article, I reread the book in its entirety for the first time since the 1960s, but this time in electronic form on my Kindle. Who would have imagined that in 1966? Come to think of it, the rather imaginative David Whittaker might well have done. As a novel, it really holds up rather well. Fast-paced, action-packed and all that. As a novelisation of a television story, it's even better, being faithful to the original plot and characters, Whittaker's own TV scripts, without feeling perfunctory, as some novelisations can. Such additions as there are limited in scope and just feel right, primarily emphasising the romantic relationship between Ian and Barbara that had been established in the previous book, but never on TV, and allowing Ian and Saladin to share a scene, an odd admission from the televised version. I don't think there have been many editions in the Target range that come close to this book in terms of quality. If In an Exciting Adventure with the Daleks is a successful novelisation in a different mode, making many changes from the TV version in order to make a better book, The Crusaders sets the pattern of faithful retellings that the majority of the Target output would follow. It's a very important book for the range. Finally, a note of thanks to John Allard. John is not someone I know. I've never met him, nor have I ever corresponded with him. I know nothing about him, other than, at some time in the last 50 years, he used what looks like a John Bull toy printing set to mark with his name, not very neatly, what later became my copy of this book as his own. Whether he was the original owner or a later custodian, my gratitude goes to him for helping to keep it in the good condition that it is. Many thanks. I hope that in your time you got as much pleasure out of the book as I continue to do. And that article was written for a forthcoming title in the You and Who range, You on Target.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.